watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. We are the branches, he is the vine. I have a spine, so I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. When I get down on my knees and pray to you, God's word is master of all I say and do. His will is mine, I walk the line.
Folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we're coming to you live this morning, February 4th, 2017, and we say welcome to you folks out there. We are glad you are here. I believe that we've got John on the line. Good evening, John. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we've got Josh on the line. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
Well, glad you gentlemen could be here this morning. Let's start off with a word of prayer. And John, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
Okay. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for the sign that we're seeing, that at least part of the darkness that's been upon the land for the 8 years is being removed. Lord, we know that that's an answer to prayer, an answer to the prayers of a remnant that cried out, God save America again. The answers to the prayer, the mighty weapon. The answers to your people who are called by your name, humbling themselves and praying and seeking your face and turning from their wicked ways, so that you will hear from heaven, forgive our sin and heal our land. Father, we know there's a long way to go, and I just pray that the watchman over the house of Israel would not fall asleep again, Father, that we would continue to be diligent to pray for grace and mercy on your people. Father, that you would not allow anyone to be in a position of authority over your people who does not know you, love you, and fear you. So, Father, we take the authority that you've given us in Jesus Christ, and we bind these bastard sons of hell that continue to try to oppress your people. those that would not have you rule over them, Father. We just ask that you would bring them before you, Lord, and that they would either come to repentance or that you would slay them, Lord. Father, your word says that in the last day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall profess Jesus Christ. That's our desire, Father, is to claim this country through J.E.R. USA L.E.M. back to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And that all those that hate you and hate your people, Lord, would either come to repentance or be destroyed. So we ask that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us to that end as we continue to strive to come to that place of complete obedience, where we love you, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Father, we can't do it without the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we, the remnant, say, here we are, Lord, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? Father, we thank you for the signs that we've seen lately. We thank you for the miracles that we've seen, the healing. We thank you for your promises to your people. We continue to claim those promises. Lord, we ask for wisdom. Of all the wealth and gifts that Solomon had, wisdom was his greatest. So, Father, give us wisdom. Give us the opportunity fulfill the great commission to spread the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ all throughout the land. Father, prepare your people's hearts and minds and souls to receive these truths. Send your ministering angels out to those that can come to repentance. Father, remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears that they would see the truth about immersion baptism, that they must die to their old lives and be born again of the water and the Spirit, in order to have a place in your kingdom. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord, wicked sinners that are not only called but chosen to spread the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask for help regarding that. I ask for a special anointing to be upon those that desire is to serve in your kingdom, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guide and direct us this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding of what it is you would have us to speak about that's beneficial to your people, the remnant. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Go ahead.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this day, and we give you praise and all the glory for this day, and we ask for the more of that Holy Spirit in our lives, and we ask that you guide us and direct us in all that we do, and that you strengthen us, and Father, that you encourage us, that you give us the courage to fight the battles that are put before us, Father. We come against the diabolical forces of hell and the spiritual forces of wickedness that come against us on an each and every day basis, Father, and we command them and forbid them from having any effect upon us and our households, and we call for our wives and our children to be protected, Father, that the enemy can have no grounds there, Father. We just come before you and we thank you for that. And we thank you for so many blessings that you give us each and every day. And Father, we just smile at the future and we say thank you, Lord, for being with us. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, it is exciting times that we're living in. Amen.
Amen.
And I don't know, did either one of you men have any place that you'd like to start off?
There's so much to start with. It's hard to know where to start, but sure see, it looks like sabers are being rattled with Iran and North Korea.
Yes, they are. They are. And not just, you know, not just in that over there, but over here. I mean, you look at that saber rattling, and I was thinking this morning, you know, I saw this where this judge had, President Trump were doing their own saber rattling right here, and, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting, just because of, you know, and I thought about that, and I thought about what's going on over there, And, you know, it could be, I mean, that could be the fall of Babylon. If you really read the story of the fall of Babylon, it's them fighting against themselves. You know, the remnant, his people, are standing off to the side, and they bring the house down right there upon themselves. And it was just kind of an interesting thought, because sometimes you got to sit back and you got to wonder, you know, how is this we are going to see, because it's prophesied, you know, that Babylon is going to fall. How is Babylon going to fall?
Yeah, good point.
Was that
I think we've witnessed it falling ever since. I don't know, probably in the last 10 years, we've witnessed the decay in Babylon and its strength. And
I think so too.
Confusion within the camp of the enemy, that we've seen that over and over. But yeah, I don't know why.
Well, I think since the Twin Towers, I think on 9/11, I think that was the start of the fall of Babylon. And
right.
I think that we've seen that, just like you said, I think that's a good word for it, decayed. It's decayed, it's weakened, it's started falling, but it's going to continue to fall. And I think that it's one of those things, is once it, you know, it's got that snowball effect, it's going to gradually and gradually, it's going to build it up and build up and build momentum, and then it's going to come crashing down.
Yeah, the evil ones, They understand that there's things that are being put in play now that that they may not be able to recover from, like withdrawal from the United Nations. I've read some articles on a fear in the left of the EU folding and never again being restored. Now, part of that has to do with Brexit, but I think, in my opinion, what we're witnessing too is Ezekiel 37, when the Lord breathed into those dry bones. So I know that it's in the resurrection, but there's also been a group of people, those who call themselves Christians, who have been under a spell of Judeo-Christianity, and that spell has got them to be acceptant and tolerant of sin as defined in the Bible, which is transgression of God's law. And by doing that under the guise of grace, they've hindered what the Lord will do for them in their lives and in their country. And there's a great awakening, is what I'm seeing, of people who are starting to realize that they've been lied to. They're starting to realize that the law has not been done away with. It has been fulfilled. The only part of it that was done away with was the sacrificial parts of that, which were pretty extensive if you read the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, became our sacrifice. And when you start to explain those things to people, they've never even heard them before.
Right.
And it's an opportunity, I think, like never before, for us to be very careful how we reach them. We don't want to just hit them with the Israel truth, or we don't want to just blindside them with baptism right off the bat. We want to give them just the proper amount of salt, so that they're not overwhelmed and they don't turn and run. But if we do it right, and those seeds that have been planted even years ago when they thought we were crazy, people are starting to say, well, you know what, you're right. And more people are starting to ask the remnant, people that I know, for prayer. They're starting to say, hey, these guys got something here. I don't know what it is, but I'm seeing prayers answered that they're praying. And it's pretty exciting. But the thing we have to remember is it's nothing of us. God just uses us as an instrument. Lord, keep us humble no matter what. Even if we witness miracles at the words of our mouth, Lord, keep us humble. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for choosing me to be an instrument of your grace and your mercy and your healing power and your deliverance. You know, that's the thing we have to realize.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, and that's one of the things that as we continue, as you remember, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about his kingdom. It's about his glory. It's about him being glorified. And, you know, I think it's a good idea when somebody to do it on a regular basis and stop and just think about those things. You know, it's not about me. It's about his glory. Am I glorifying him and what I am doing? Am I being a blessing to his people through my actions and what I am doing? And you know, it's a humbling thought, you know, to think about doing the Father's business.
Yeah, the reality is, he don't need us; we need him.
Exactly. Josh, you're awful quiet over there. You got anything you'd like to say?
Oh, definitely. Just listening to y'all talking and thinking about the direction that I see we're heading in, and playing along, and my mind is, John was talking, and I know Boss one time, but he always used to say that good fortune was one of the hardest things for a man to accept, and I would like to change that a little bit. So sometimes God's blessings are hard for us to accept, because when you get in a spot where you're used to being where you're at, and then when things change, when they change a lot, it's hard for you to accept that it could happen. You know, you pray for it, and you pray for it, and we have faith. We're looking down the road to see our prayers answered. But when you get to that spot in the road where God says, okay, here you go, let's start making these changes, we need to look at it, we need to realize that God's answering our prayers, and we need to accept that, thank him for it, and say, okay, Lord, we got this. What about this? Let's keep moving forward. You know, there's kind of a reaction that I've been seeing with some of the remnant, the ones that are already fairly knowledgeable Christians, you know, baptized, and they're just very skeptical, you know, and I say it's not a lot, it's not everybody, but there are some that I've come across that, you know, just can't accept that it might be God's blessing. And my thoughts on that are, okay, you know, through this Obama administration, as things progressively got worse and worse, and the heat got turned up, you started seeing these signs in the ditches from Judeo-Christians, except 2 Chronicles 7:14. In the ditches, and they're telling our people to pray, you know, because they realize how bad it was. And no, they may not know who the true Israel is. They may not even know the truth about baptism. But they're doing what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. They're humbling themselves, they're praying, and they're asking others to pray, and repenting. And so we got to remember that we hadn't always been where we're at right now. We haven't always had the knowledge that we've got, and I hope in 5 years I can look back where I'm at now and say, boy, I was done back then, because I hope I grow so much more in the next 5 years that I don't even recognize myself today.
Amen.
If that makes any sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, absolutely.
I just think we need to be careful. Definitely, we are supposed to be the watchmen. We're supposed to be watching and keeping our eyes open and letting those around us know what's going on. But also, when something's a blessing from God, you know, we need to grab a hold of it, thank him for it, and take that as a step and move forward and build on it. not continually disregard it or belittle it.
Yeah. I can agree with that 100%.
Yep, me too. It's easy to become arrogant in thinking that you have all truth and all knowledge, and everyone else doesn't have anything. The other thing I'm learning, not that easy to learn, but to try to be quiet and to listen. And a lot of times you'll hear things even from the Judeo-Christians that may give you an avenue to reach them. You know, they may tip their hat on something that's hindering their walk. And then if you kind of specifically focused on that. I had an opportunity to do that the other day, trying to share a little bit about deliverance and how the Lord said that we would do these things, you know, greater things than this. Six times he said we will do. And this one man at the men's prayer breakfast was saying, yeah, isn't there something in the Bible about the sins of the fathers visiting the third and fourth generation? And so over that following week, I took the time and looked up the scriptures and brought them to the next prayer breakfast and gave them to him. I said, here you go, Paul, here's the scriptures that you were looking for. And it really took him back that I took the time to actually research it and give him that. And then another time was, what's this age of accountability you're talking about? You know, people don't even understand the age of accountability, that a man couldn't go to war till he was 20 years old, or that when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments, when he came down, that the, you know, Israelites had fallen away and built the golden calf, and God was furious, ready to destroy them all. You know, Moses, this is Reader's Digest version, by the way. But anyways, Moses pleaded with him not to kill them all, or if he was, go ahead and kill him too. And he said, all right, but none of you over the age 20 will see the promised land. So he held all of them accountable over the age of 20. I mean, we all know that, but most people had never heard that before. And then it starts to make sense to them about what we believe as far as baptism, that up until the age 20, the parents are baptized, that those children are protected under that umbrella of spiritual covering from their parents. And then at age 20, you make up your mind whether you want to be a Christian or not. And it's a covenant that you're entering into, so don't take it lightly. And you have to agree that you're not only going to talk the talk, but walk the walk. And if you don't, then there's stricter consequences here on earth, I believe. But those are things that people have never heard before. And those are the seeds that will get them to commit to understanding the importance of repentance and immersion baptism, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's the time where, and you can use a lot of that stuff. I think that it's a good point, is what you brought up, is listening. Because when you listen, you can find things that, you can find what people are searching for, and you can find out, maybe you'll hear something that maybe they believe. Even if they're wrong, just listen, because you can learn why they believe something, and then you can take that, and you can go back, and you can research it, and you can come back and be properly equipped with the answers that you need to have to show them, and hey, maybe you're wrong on this. Maybe, maybe we should look at this. And I think that it's one of those things that, listening is, you listen. And you listen to a person even when you're talking, you listen. Because a person will tell you when they've had enough. When they stop paying attention to you, they're done. You need to stop, and you've given them a big enough dose for now, and you can come back later on and give them more. And you'll know, but you'll know that by listening to them.
Yeah.
Two ears and one mouth.
Yeah, you are correct.
Good point. I don't know that I ever heard that before, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw, it was pretty encouraging. I was reading a story this morning about Starbucks, the idiot leftist CEO Charles Schulz made a statement that he would hire 10,000 Syrian refugees to work in his chain of stores over basically military or U.S. citizens. And between that and telling concealed carry gun owners that they couldn't carry weapons into their stores, and then if you oppose gay marriage, then we don't want your money. Then, in fact, that was, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I said, wish granted. And actually had an opportunity to walk into a Starbucks that I used to go to and buy a cup of coffee, walk outside, and pour it out into the planter in the middle of the entryway there. And people looked at me, what are you doing that for? I said, well, CEO of Starbucks said, if I oppose gay marriage, you don't want my money. I said, wish granted. But anyways, it appears that it's taken a financial toll on the company to the tune of almost 10% between the three stupid personal leftist statements that he's made, and I think that's great.
Yeah, well, and even recently it was they came out and said, you know, if you support strong Christian family values, we don't want your money. And I think that was one of the things, that really, really hit them. Because, I mean, there was all of a sudden, I mean, it was like I was telling people I hadn't been into a Starbucks in a long time. And all of a sudden I was hearing this other wave of people and they're like, oh, wait, you know, we're not giving Starbucks a dime. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, we haven't been supposed to do that for years. And they're like, no, you haven't heard the latest. And I heard about it from several people here in town.
Huh. Yeah, you know, God has a way of reminding you, too. I was out of town, I don't know, probably a month or so ago, I'll confess my sin, looking for a coffee shop. You know, nothing around, but there's like six Starbucks within 5 miles. And so I said, all right, well, you know, one thing is that the coffee is pretty good and it's addicting, and I don't know what they put in it. Probably MSG or something, who knows. But anyways, went in there with a couple other men, and they could see that we're the light, you know. This wasn't too long after the election, and they're all moping, and most of the people in there, I think, are liberals, and then they could see that we were kind of laughing and joking and you know, a little bit giddy somewhat, and boy, I never got the worst, that was the worst service I ever got in my life. I ordered a cup of coffee, and it literally took 20 minutes, and probably 10 people got their stuff before me. And then I got my coffee, and it was cold. And I went back up there, and I said, hey, this is cold. And then I don't know what they did to it, but it was the worst tasting cup of coffee I ever had in my life. So I was like, I don't think I'll drink this, and poured it out. But it's interesting how the light can see the dark, and the dark can see the light. And that's happening more than I can ever remember as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a setup thing or not, but I do enjoy here recently whenever there's a protest going on. You know, normally there's a Starbucks that's getting windows knocked out of it by their own.
I know, isn't that funny?
So I enjoy that.
Good point. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. These riots, there's Starbucks was destroyed. Like, boy, that is a God laughing. They make their plans and he sits in the heavens and he laughs at them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, and that's the thing, is you talk about just forces of light versus forces of darkness, I mean, and combating each other. I mean, they're getting more bold and more brazen, you know, all the time. And you see that they don't even try to hide it anymore. I mean, they just come out and tell you, you know, hey, go take your money elsewhere, you know. Well, you know, take your coffee elsewhere.
Yep.
I mean, they come out and, you know, they come out and you watch these organizations. When they come out and they start telling you, you can't carry a gun in any of our businesses, you know, they automatically create criminal safe zones. And it's usually go along with that Antichrist mentality shortly after that.
And it's a blessing that people are opening their eyes, you know, that you do see that 10%. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but think about and reflect what a multi-million dollar company Starbucks is. And for their sales to drop 10%, how many people is that drove by instead of turning in and getting their coffee because that their CEO has said, because of the curses and the garbage that he spewed. I mean, that's a lot of people that have abandoned them because of the stance they made. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. They, and you know, our God's not mocked. I think if if all the Christians who really believe that, at least in truth, and if all Christians would stop going to Starbucks, you'd see a 50% drop in their revenue. But the other one that I like driving by is Target. I love driving by Target and seeing that the parking lot is pretty much minimal. I mean, on good days, three quarters empty, but pretty consistently half empty. And the stupid CEO there is the same thing. He won't acknowledge the fact that their position on transgender bathroom use, to use whatever bathroom you want, has caused them significant loss. And I know quite a few people who really, they're sad that they can't shop at Target anymore, because it's kind of one step above Walmart, I guess, but a couple steps below some of the major department stores. But and they've held true to that conviction, you know, for the most part. The people that I know that have taken a stand against Target and against Starbucks have kept true to that. You know, I confessed my sin, and the Lord showed me that, okay, dummy, if you want to go to Starbucks, this is what's going to happen. So I just think it's encouraging.
You know, that's his mercy to us. And I'm thankful for it. But now, you know, if you go to Starbucks, you're going to get cold, nasty coffee. So it's not as much temptation to you as it was before.
Yeah. Yeah, had I got a really nice cup of coffee and a smile within 2 or 3 minutes, I might have been the same dummy back there again. So thank you, Lord, for that old, nasty cup of coffee and the reminder.
I was thinking about that, the Target situation. That was started talking about Starbucks. Target's another one of them that, you know, they made their stand. And it's the same way down here. You pass by a Target, it's nothing like what it used to be as far as the parking lot being full, like what you said, it's a sparse crowd. And you're not going to see those numbers on the headline, you know, Target sales down such and such percent. They're not going to give you that out there. But as you said, it's plain to see. We can look with our own eyes and see the impact that
that it'll make. Be the next Kmart. Mark my word.
Because I told my wife, I mean, she used to shop there and no more. And I didn't have to, because she knows already. But we have held fast to it, you know, and you got to, like that old song, you got to stand for something, you fall for anything. I mean, whenever somebody draws a line, we need to do our best to give them what they ask for, you know, to stand on God's side and not waver. And once again, I'm not convicting you, John, because, you know, we all make mistakes, and thankfully there is God's grace there for us. I'm not even saying it's a sin to go to Starbucks. I don't know if we'll be or not, but that's something that we can do to help them further their agenda of having only transgenders and the leftist crowd sprinkled in their stores.
Yeah. Well, you can see just in the past 2 weeks, the decisions that President Trump has made has really scared the left. It's put a lot of those antichrists, those that hate Lord Jesus Christ and hate his people, on notice. You know, whatever you believe, there's been improvements, at least as far as destroying a lot of the things that Obamanation had done. I don't know if you saw that deal that Obamanation made with Australia. Australia, at least they're smart. They're not letting any Muslims in. And basically, they're paying to house them on an island out in the middle of nowhere. And, of course, Obamanation decides to take, apparently, 1,250 is the first round of them. And I don't know if Trump's agreed to honor that or not. I hope he doesn't. But it's just interesting to see even the residue that that Trump has to deal with regarding the Obamanation. But like you said, you know, God uses all things for a purpose. The Obamanation was probably the best tool that we've had in, you know, 50 years as far as waking up his people that were under a spell.
And also, as we've talked about, he's the best gun salesman in history. I mean, that's a good thing. When you flood the market with something, then, you know, the prices are going to go down. So hopefully here in a little while, we'll start picking up some good deals on stuff.
Yeah, they say that gun sales are still going through the roof.
They are. Yes.
Are they?
Yes, they are. So...
Well, like you said, Jason, like you started it off, exciting times we're living in. I think some other things that look encouraging is the executive orders that they're talking and religious freedoms where you can't be discriminated against if you own a business and you refuse to make a cake for a gay wedding or host a gay wedding or perform a gay wedding. And not that it matters to us as the remnant, because we made that decision. In fact, Pastor Peters made that decision back in, what was it, 1982, when they seized the church and told him that he had to register as
92.
A political action. Was it 92?
Yeah.
Excuse me, yeah, 92. And had to register as a political action committee because he took a stand against the queer ordinance here in town. And he refused to. And to this day, we're still not registered as a 501c3 church because I believe and he believes, and I'm sure Jason and everyone else believes, that once you do that, you're putting the state as the head of the church. Right now, by not being a 501c3 church, tax-exempt church, Jesus Christ is the head of this body and of this church. And that's a big difference.
And then you see we're part of that.
Go ahead.
Did you see we're part of that executive order that you're speaking of is to make it to where it's not illegal for a pastor to share his political views and endorse a candidate from
the Johnson pulpit. Johnson Act, yeah.
Right, the Johnson Act. And, you know, that's a big deal because at this point in time now, if a preacher that is in one of the 501c3, you know, Judeo-Christian, however you want to put it, churches, if he is going to use that pulpit as a platform to advocate the person in an election that is the most godly or Christian, the best choice for our remnant, if he does that now, he's breaking the law. And that's a bad position to be in, but if they do away with it, as they said, he'll actually be able to point out, hey, this is where this candidate stands on it, and this is where other candidate stands on it. So if you're a Christian, and if you're trying to make a godly judgment on who's a better person for this to be, he can do that legally without being breaking the law, and that's a pretty big deal to me to... make it to where a preacher in a position of authority doesn't have to be a lawbreaker to lead his flock.
I kind of see that as a double-edged sword in a way, though. I think in some ways it would have been better had the laws stood to the point where if you were a 501c3 church and you refused to perform a gay wedding or if you spoke out, because there was those that did speak out against Hillary, even with the Johnson Act in place. So, really, what are they doing? They're defying man's law, not God's law. So in my opinion, it's a double-edged sword by the fact that God is calling his people and his churches to order, and he will no longer tolerate churches of Laodicea or lukewarm. Oh, that you are hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out. He can deal with those that hate him, and he can deal with those that love him. But those that are in the middle that cause his little ones to stumble by spreading lies and deceit and false information, you know, better to have a millstone around your neck and cast into a deep sea. So So in some ways, I think it's a double-edged sword. I would rather see the churches, the 501c3 churches, have to take a stand and choose you this day who they serve, whether it be Baal or God. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do understand.
But like you said, what it will do is it'll take those who don't have the courage and the faith to move forward to speak the truth because of the laws of man. And in that way, it's a good thing because more people will start to stand up against evil politicians. I mean, Pastor Peter's taught us many times that it used to be that the preachers would guide the people's morality as to who was elected and put in positions of authority, not only in federal positions, but all the way down to
state and local. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably a good thing, like you said. But I feel like you don't have to defy man's law, because then there's consequences. And then there's faith in whether God's going to deliver you, just like our pastor went through.
And we know that's a process. That's something that you got to work toward. It's just like, you know, y'all made a parallel many a time, just physical exercise. You know, it's the same as physical exercise. You start out by lifting smaller weights, and you get bigger and bigger. You work and you build, you grow that faith over time. So hopefully that's what where we're at now, is if we can get to those people and have them to the small, start with the small thing and do it and believe it and see. That's another thing to me that's very important is we've got to be looking, we've got to be trying to see whenever God is doing something in our lives. I know there's been plenty of times, and even here recently, we're afraid about something, and not been looking in the right place for the answer, and did not see it for a while, and you know, I've had a little stress, a little worry that I shouldn't have, and then all of a sudden I see it, and then you regret ever wasting your time and energy on that that worry, that fret. So that's this place where I'm growing is, you know, sometimes the answer to your prayers aren't right there where you're looking at them, or you know, you need to keep your eyes open and being looking. It's a big picture because we don't always understand how God's working in our lives, even though we know that He does work all things for our good.
Yeah.
So if you're not seeing the answer to your prayer, sometimes you might not be looking in the right place.
Yep, that's true. I think another big thing that we're seeing that we haven't seen, and something that's been identified many years ago in the Communist Manifesto, and is the media being exposed and their false stories. And one thing I really like is to see President Trump like blocking out the Communist News Network.
Yeah, I do too. I think they've gotten exposed pretty darn good here lately. I mean, it's things that we've known for a long time, that they are liars, that they that they lie and they lie and they lie, and boy, they've been called out an awful lot lately. And I just hearing that puts a smile on my face when I hear other people start to talk about it. And it's like, yep, they are, and it's kind of encouraging when you see people that. That are starting to understand that.
Yep. I like to see the fact that they're firing people too. within the administration. I read something the other day that several high-ranking Secret Service officials have just been fired and escorted to the door. Men that they did not believe that they could trust.
See ya.
Yep. So...
And I do agree, and it warms my heart to hear people talking about how they can't
trust the media. Whatever, these are people that used to stay glued to their television sets waiting for the news to come on so that they can see what's going on. And now they just, for the most part, don't even waste their time, and they mock what they see on the news. I know we've got a local, the biggest newspaper around here locally that has stepped out there, you know, pretty much and shown how much they are skewed to the liberal side. And I'm waiting to see them fall. I'm waiting to see the effects on that, because, you know, they've been doing it just slowly and subtly and gradually. But like y'all were talking about earlier, you know, all of a sudden they're just ramping it up, and everything is in, you know, anti-conservative language, you know, showing things from the left point of view. So, you know, hey, I pray that God will take them out and he'll make an example out of them where we can see it.
Yeah, you can see that there's some federal judge, I think, overturned President Trump's immigration ban, and you know that he's the kind of man, even if it costs him money personally, he is going to pay whoever he needs to figure out what it is that has to be done to remove these stinking liberal federal judges who've really changed the landscape in this country over the last 8 years, because it's not the will of the people that gay marriage is the land of the law, which in my opinion is still not the land of the law, or transgenderism is creeping in, or these you know, all of the things that have been against God's law and against God's people that have been enacted by federal judges that were appointed through the Obamanation administration. So, you know, we're just starting to look into these the courts of heaven and these promises that God's made to his people that I think I'm sure we can bring these people before the courts, but we have to make sure that our houses are in order, that the church is in order. That's what it's all about, is the Lord's calling people to order. So it's exciting times, you know.
And you mentioned that order, and you think about it, okay, if you're not where you're supposed to be, or at least doing your best to be where you're supposed to be, you're not going to be looking at things in the correct perspective to see the truth, because you're going to be off on a different angle. You're going to be off in left field if you're not in order and trying to be where you're supposed to be for God and being in his will. So if we want to have the correct perspective, we need to be where we need to be looking at the matters at hand, if that makes any sense.
Yep. But, you know, I think a big piece of the puzzle that we need to figure out as well is the greatest gifts. You know, God said he would bestow those upon his people, whatever discretion that he saw fit. But the reality is that when you have a body of believers, right, we're the body of Christ, that all of those gifts have to be distributed within that body in order to have the power that we need to overcome the enemy. So that's what my prayer's been lately. And the thing we have to realize too is that if the Lord gives you one of those gifts, we have to be very careful that we don't hold ourselves in higher esteem than someone else, or think that we're better, or, you know. That's, we have to use that gift out of love for his people. The remnant is what I think. And I believe that if we're honest and sincere and diligent about these requests, and if we're truly desiring to come to that place of complete obedience, that the Lord's just sitting there with those greatest gifts, the gifts that we need, discernment, and all of these other gifts. That's actually what I'm going to speak on tomorrow, is testing the Spirit, Lord willing. But these are things that we need to utterly destroy the enemy. And we've had some of these gifts over the years, and people have been given those things and used them. But if we can be as one body, you know, just like this story. I love the story of David when the three men fought in a triangle to go get David water through the enemy and then brought it back. And because the rest of his troops were thirsty, even though they risked their lives to get that water, he poured it out on the ground. You know, that's what we need to become as a body. Those who are willing to fight in a triangle to the death if necessary, but for one another. You know what I'm saying? That's why God's pruning the vine and he's culling the herd, and sometimes it's discouraging, but we have to remember that over the years, how many times has this happened over and over and over? But it can't grow unless it's pruned. I mean, that's just one of God's laws of nature.
And hearing you say that brings back to mind, again, for me, you know, everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to be a boss and call the shots. But one thing about it, if you're going to be a good leader, you got to be a great servant. Because whenever you're in that leadership role, you've got to be more humble than the guys you're leading. Because when they come to you, you know, with a problem or they attack you or whatever, you got to be humble enough to handle that situation without getting mad. Whereas if you are in a lesser position of authority, you can get mad, you can blow your top and not have as much of an effect on the group as it does if the leader of that group makes that mistake. So just that's something to think about. You know, like I said, everyone wants to be a leader, everybody wants to be the one out there in front, but to be a good leader, you got to be a great servant, because you got to have a servant's heart. You got to be seeking God's will and what's best for the group that you're leading, not your own will, not your own pride or your selfish reasons of, you know, wanting to look good or succeed yourself. I know, John, you've had a lot of that, a lot of chance to grow as a leader, and
seeing you through some of those challenges
sure makes you think.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I love nothing more than ministries that want to proclaim the truth that we've been given for the last 30 years to pop up all across the country and to fulfill the great mission and spread the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's not what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is ministries pop up that are designed, that are out there really just to destroy. They're out there to tear down and destroy things that have been established, truth that's been established for 30 years. And that's concerning. But you know, God in his infinite wisdom, he's made it where we can't win. I mean, where we can't lose by praying for our enemies. Even bless them. At least those within the body. Is we lift them up and we pray. You know, we pray using the prayer filter, but I pray for them. I pray, Lord, if there's a way that they can be restored, then restore them.
Yes. Yep.
But if not, Father, if they are their father, the devil, if they've done nothing but lay in wait for years, sometimes many years, just waiting for their opportunity to strike, just like a stinking snake, then you deal with them. But I don't know that. So my prayers are for the good. And then the Lord can deal with it from there. Because my Bible says that even if they are my enemy, if I pray for them, then it's like heaping burning coals on their head. So that's what I'm saying. As far as I'm concerned, God's made it a win-win for his people if we just follow what he told us to do.
Yep. Yep.
And it's easy. You know, Pastor taught us too. It's easy to get sucked in to where you want to defend and you want to fight and you want to, but the only one that wins is the enemy, because he's caused you to not focus on what it is that you're supposed to be focusing on. You're not
right.
supposed to be focusing on defending those that are slandering you and making false accusations. We're supposed to focus on spreading the kingdom, to the gospel throughout the kingdom. That's our job.
Yes, it is. And, gentlemen, we are just about out of time. We got about 5 minutes left. Do you got any closing comments or thoughts you'd like to share with us?
Continue to pray. Pray for America and pray for the remnant. Pray for protection for those who are in positions of authority. Jason said it well. Nice to be able to pray for our leaders instead of against them for the first time in a long time. Go ahead, Josh.
And that's how we fight our battles, is through prayer. And I'm not saying, certainly if God gives you the word on something to actually stand and physically fight.
Right.
Heck yeah, you're to do that. But be Holy Spirit led. Don't do it out of spite or because someone is wrong or whatever. And that's the traps that John is talking about. They lay those traps out there for us, trying to make us respond on our own. And without God's direction for our path. And so that's why we need to be in prayer at all times, seeking God's will in our lives and listening and obeying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with that 100%. I think that you know, that's what we need to be doing, is just everything within prayer. You know, now is the time, I believe, that we're having some of the most, you know, some extremely spiritual warfare going on. I think that it's very intense on that front. But that's not to say that it doesn't move to a different front, or if it doesn't change realms, that it doesn't go into a physical realm in the future. I mean, and we've got to be prepared for both. And, a lot of people, it's like, oh, they understand that we're in a spiritual warfare right now, and they think that it's just always going to be a spiritual warfare. And I don't believe that. I believe that you have to be prepared for both physical and spiritual. And I believe that they coincide together in a greater realm. And we just got to be aware of that as well. Tomorrow, we are just about out of time, but want to make sure and invite everybody to church. Tomorrow we are doing everything a little bit different. Our schedule's changed at the LaPorte Church of Christ. You can now tune in at 8:30 Mountain Time and join us from 8:30 to 9 with scriptural review of the news, and then from 9 to 10 we'll be broadcasting Pastor Peters, a timeless pulpit truth message from Pastor Peters, and then we'll have our live hour, and then we will be rebroadcasting Pastor Peters' message from 11 to 12. So people that want to join us an hour early, they can now do that. And that's why we've made that change, so people can tune in an hour early and get on with their day an hour earlier. I was able to have breakfast with or lunch with a man coming back from Nebraska a couple days ago, and he said that he's really enjoyed the new format. So we do ask that you keep this ministry in your prayers, and we wish you gentlemen a good day.
You, brother. Thank you.
Thanks,
Joshua.
Remnant, have a good day.